Okay, if you have a Bible, I want you to open it with me to two places in the New Testament, Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 2. Luke 2 and Matthew 2. Kind of get your finger and stick it in one place, or maybe grab your neighbor's finger and stick it in one place. Say, can I borrow your finger and stick it in Matthew and open to Luke? But I want to share just a couple of moments on the subject of the men who missed Christmas, or the people who missed Christmas. Did you know that it's possible to miss Christmas? You say, well, Pastor John, how are you going to miss Christmas? There's Christmas trees, and there's Christmas lights, and there's Christmas parties, and there's presents, and there's shopping. Oh, the joy of shopping. Pray for me. I haven't even started yet. And there's eggnog, and there's cookies, and there's all those things that we like to do at Christmas. So how could somebody possibly miss Christmas? And I believe that the way we miss Christmas is we miss Christ. Christmas is Christ. And without Jesus Christ, you have not experienced Christmas. You miss Christmas if you miss Christ. And just as many miss Christmas today, so there were some who missed Christ when He first came, the first Christmas. There were those who missed His coming and didn't understand who He was or what He had come to do. I want to talk about the people who missed Christmas. The first are the innkeepers. The innkeeper in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. I want you to follow with me in your Bibles. It says, beginning in verse 1 of Luke 2, it said, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all of the world should be taxed." And Luke says this taxing was made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused or engaged wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And here it is, verse 7 of Luke 2. She brought forth her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. She laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, Luke is a historian, and he makes it very clear when Jesus Christ was born. Came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all of the world should be taxed. And then he makes the point in verse 2 that this taxing was made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Now, what was this enrollment for? It was for the purpose of taxation. So let me put it in simple terms. Basically, the Roman government had taken over Israel, and they were subservient to the Roman government. So the Roman government was extracting taxes from the Jews. And so they needed to know, kind of like a census, how many people we have and how much money we should collect. So the Caesar sitting in Rome gave this edict that all the world, that is the Roman world, needed to be taxed. So all of the Jews had to go back to the place of their ancestral birth. Wherever you were born, you went back to the place of your birth and you signed up. You signed your name or you enrolled. So Joseph and Mary were up in Nazareth. Now Nazareth's about 90 miles north of Bethlehem. And she's in the last stages of pregnancy. But the Bible prophesied that Bethlehem would be the birthplace of the Messiah, the Savior of the world. So God had to work to get the couple from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. The Bible says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and He turns it whatever way He wants to. Do you know that God's on the throne? And I'm glad. That God is in control. And God was in control of the birth of His son, and He knew that His son was to be born in Bethlehem, so He put it in the heart of Caesar Augustus to give this decree. This man thought that he was ruling the world, but he was just a puppet in the hand of God. So he sends out this decree, all the world must be taxed. And you can imagine Joseph saying to Mary, "Mary, I'm sorry, but we got to put you on a donkey, and we got to go down to Bethlehem." Now, what woman would like to be 9 months pregnant and take a 90-mile donkey ride? You talk about inducing labor. We'll get this baby born, jump on this donkey, let's go for a 90-mile donkey ride. And sure enough, it induced the labor. When they got there, she was ready to be delivered. And you know the famous story. They went to the inn, and the innkeeper doesn't name him or mention him. And we just assume there's an innkeeper because, you know, it just fits the story. But it doesn't really specifically mention the innkeeper, but just says there was no room for them in the inn. We assume that there was an innkeeper where there's an inn. But God provided a stable where the animals were. And in the stable, they would have a manger, which is a feeding trough. We think of the manger as the building. The manger was the feeding trough. That's what the word manger means. It was like a feeding trough the angels or that the animals would eat out of. So they went into the kind of the stable where the animals were, and they probably got some fresh hay, laid it into the manger, and Jesus Christ was born. She brought forth her firstborn son, verse 7, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and she laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, the first person I want to mention that missed Christmas was the innkeeper. Can you imagine if he knew that Mary and Joseph were going to have this child, that this child was the Son of God, that this child was the Savior of the world, that this child was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that God was actually coming in the form of a baby, and yet he goes, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have any room. If he only knew who this child was, he would have kicked everyone out of the inn and let them have the run of the place, amen? But how humble God is. And he comes in humility, and I believe Jesus was born in a manger to show to us that no one is too lowly for him, no one's too humble for him, no one needs to be cast out from him. That anyone who wants to come to him can come. And so the innkeeper missed Christmas. Now, why did he miss Christmas? He missed Christmas because of ignorant preoccupation. Not hatred, not open anger, hostility. He didn't know he was rejecting the Christ child. He just saw these two kind of peasant couples, this couple from Nazareth, and he didn't know that he was rejecting Messiah, but he was ignorant and he was preoccupied. And I believe that many people today are the same. They're consumed with their affairs and their lives and their sinful pursuits, and they forget to focus on Christ. They're focusing on their job and their families and their careers and their pleasures and the parties and the fun, but they don't stop to think about, do I have Christ in my heart? Am I focused on Christ? Basically, the old saying is true, there's no room in their hearts. You know, there's a lot of innkeepers here today. There's a lot of innkeepers in the world today. There's no room in their life. Too busy with my marriage, too busy with my job, too busy raising kids, too busy making a living, too busy being retired, too busy doing nothing, kind of a thing. I'm just too busy with all of the cares of this world. And ignorantly, we kind of blast through our lives and we don't stop to recognize our need for God. Jesus told a parable called the sower and the seed. And one of the seeds that was sown on thorns. And the thorns came up and choked out the seed and it didn't bring forth fruit. And the image there is the picture of the fact that the Word of God is often sown in our lives. But Jesus said the cares and the deceitfulness and the riches and the things of this world choke out the Word of God, and it never brings forth fruit into our lives. You know, maybe you're missing Christ right now, or you're missing Christ at Christmas because you're too busy thinking about your career or making money or having a good time or what people think about you or building kind of your nest egg or doing other things or just having fun with life. And you're not stopping and thinking about that your need for God is so very important. The Bible says you can gain the whole world, but if you lose your soul, it profits you nothing. The Bible says if you seek to find your life, then you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel, Jesus said, then you will find it. I'll never forget being a young person and when I was in high school, and I knew about Jesus. I'd been raised in church, but I'd never surrendered my life to Him. And I'd go to church with my parents, and I'd like, these people are weird. They smile, they clap, they, you know, sing and stuff like that. It's kind of creepy. I don't think I can be one of these Christians. And I was all worried about what my friends thought of me, and I wanted to be, you know, a part of the cool crowd and go to the cool parties and hang out with the cool people. And I was always worried about what my friends thought. And finally, by God's grace, I came to the realization, why should I follow them to hell? Why should I follow them to an empty life? Why would I do that? And I came to realization that I needed God in my life. Maybe God's brought you here tonight and you've come under this kind of sense of, you know, I need more in my life. My friends aren't satisfying. And maybe my marriage isn't satisfied, or my career, or my job, or the things that I'm doing and the things that I'm pursuing. And even sometimes Christmas seems just kind of empty or shallow or hollow. You open all the gifts and then it's kind of like you drink your last, you know, cup of eggnog and you're like, is that all there is? Is there more? Yes, there is. Did you know that without Jesus Christ, you're not really living? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Without Him, there's no living. Without Him, there's no knowing. Without Him, there's no living. And until you come to Jesus Christ, you don't really have life abundantly. So if you're missing Christ, you're missing Christmas. And if you're so preoccupied with your own concerns and your own life that you're missing Jesus, I pray that tonight that you see your need of Him and that you come to Him and surrender your life to Him. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, as I told you to hold your place there. The second person that missed Christmas was Herod the king. Herod the king missed Christmas. I want you to see it in Matthew 2, verses 1 to 3. It says that when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And they were saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. Now when Herod the king had heard these things, notice at the end of verse 3, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Now the Bible tells us that Herod was a very, very wicked and paranoid man. Herod was a king only in the sense of he was a vassal king appointed by the Roman government. And he was what was called an Idumean. He was kind of half Jew, half Gentile. But he was hated by the people of Israel. And even the Romans realized that he was a horrible man. And there was a saying at that time that it was safer to be Herod's pig than to be one of Herod's family, because he actually had his wife and his sons and his family all murdered because he was so paranoid that they were going to take his throne and take his place and take his position. This guy was so crazy that he actually ordered that when he was to die, that they would gather 100 prominent Jews in Jerusalem, and the moment he died, that they would kill all these Jews because he knew no one would weep for him. He wanted people weeping when he died. Now, thankfully, they had enough sense to realize he's dead and gone. We don't have to do this. And no one had to die. And they actually had a party because Herod was dead. But Herod missed Christmas. I want you to catch this, because of sinful, jealous fear and hatred. He hated the Christ child because he was afraid that Jesus would take away his power and his position and disrupt his plans, and maybe even take away his possessions. You know, it's the same kind of fear that keep many from coming to Christ today. I don't want Jesus to cramp my style. I don't want to give my life to Jesus Christ because it may mean a loss of income or loss of influence or loss of friends. And I don't want to give my life to Jesus because I'm afraid of what He's going to require of me or what He's going to ask of me. And you let fear of losing your position or your power or your place rob you of coming to know Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus has come to bring you life and life more abundantly. Jesus has come to bring purpose and meaning and joy and fulfillment into your life. He hasn't come to destroy your life. He's come to bring purpose and fulfillment and meaning to your life. And when you resist Him, it's only putting off and forestalling the good work that God wants to do in your heart and in your life. Don't let fear keep you tonight from coming to Jesus Christ? What will my friends think? What will my friends say? What will my family say? What will my parents say? What will my wife say? What will my husband say? What will my boss say? What will the guys at work say? Or the gals in the office? And you let fear keep you from getting right with God and experiencing the forgiveness of your sins and the eternal life that Jesus Christ wants to give you tonight. Don't let Jesus be cast out because of your fear and your hatred and your animosity toward Him. Many people won't let anything interfere with their career, their position, and their power, and their plans. They hang on to their sin, and they don't want to yield their life over to God because they're afraid that Jesus Christ is going to cramp their style. Maybe tonight you're being kept from coming to Christ because you're afraid of what He's going to do in your life. There's a third group, and it's in Matthew 2, that missed the first Christmas. And it's kind of interesting that these people are the religious leaders. And they miss Christmas not because of ignorance, not because of fear, but because of self-righteousness. Because they didn't think they needed Jesus. They were self-righteous. Follow with me in Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. Matthew records that when they had gathered all the chief priests, that is, when the Herod the king had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he gathered them together. He demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. Notice they knew the prophecy that Jesus, the Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem. And then they quoted in verse 6, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, thou art least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. So the innkeeper missed Christmas because of foolish preoccupation and ignorance. Herod missed Christmas because of sinful, jealous fear. But the religious leaders, the Jews, the Pharisees and the scribes, the chief priests, they missed Christmas because of self-righteous pride. They felt they didn't really need Him. You know, it's interesting that when the king asked these religious leaders where the Messiah was to be born, that they knew right off the bat the passage from Micah where Christ would be born, but they didn't go down to Bethlehem. They didn't go to seek Him. They didn't go to find Him. They didn't go to worship Him. You know, many people who have religion feel that there's no need for them to repent of sin and to believe in Jesus Christ because I'm a good person. I've been baptized. I go to church. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. I was born in the United States of America. I'm going to heaven automatically. I eat pie with apple pie with cheese on it. I'm an American, and I say the Pledge of Allegiance on the 4th of July, so I'm going to heaven. And because they're religious, they think that they're all right. But that's not necessarily true. The Bible says all of us have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one righteous. No, not one. So they had the Scriptures. Maybe you know the Bible. Maybe you know the Christmas story. Maybe you've been to church all your life. Maybe you've been baptized. Maybe you've been christened. Maybe you've been confirmed. Maybe you've taken communion. But did you know that that won't get you to heaven? The Bible says it's not by our good works, by our deeds, that we can be saved, but by His mercy He saved us. The Bible says by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift that God wants to give you, not of works, lest any man should boast. No one can work their way to heaven or earn their way to heaven or be good enough to get to heaven. No religion can get you to heaven, just a relationship with Jesus Christ. So they had religion, they had rites, they had rituals, they even had the right race. They were Jewish. Paul the Apostle said, those things that were gained to me, my religious pedigree, I counted loss to know Christ and to be found in Him, having a righteousness which is not of the law, but the righteousness which is through the faith of Jesus Christ. You know, one of the biggest things to keep people from coming to Jesus Christ today is pride. Self-righteous pride. I'm not that bad. That person's worse than me. I've never killed anybody. I've never lied. I've never done anything horrible. I'm not a bad person. And as I said, the Bible says that there's no one righteous. No, not one. That would include everyone here today. There's no one righteous, no, not one. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we're all sinners before a holy, righteous God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus wants to give you a gift tonight. And that gift is free. It's not cheap. It was expensive. He had to die on the cross. He had to shed His own blood and pay a price for your salvation. But for you, it's free, and it's received how? By faith. And faith is simply just receiving by trusting Him. In other words, you go to heaven not because you trust in your goodness or your works, but you trust in what Jesus did for you when He died on the cross. See, when Jesus died on the cross, He paid for your sin. He died in your place. And then He rose again from the dead, and He ascended back to heaven, and He's seated alive right now in heaven to save. And Jesus can save you if you'll turn to Him in faith and you'll call out to Him. The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You don't need to leave here tonight without knowing that your sins are forgiven, that if you died, you'd go to heaven, and that you have the gift of eternal life. What a blessed gift that is that God wants to give to you. So all have sinned, all have fallen short, no one righteous, no, not one. And Jesus said, I've come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is why Jesus told Nicodemus, also a very religious Jew, in John 3, He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's the only way to get to heaven is by being born again, being born of God's Spirit. So don't miss Christmas because of ignorant preoccupation. Are you too busy tonight for Jesus Christ? Some of you say, I'm just too young. Oh, I'm just too old. I'm just too middle-aged. Well, soon it will just be too late. Did you ever notice how fast life goes? Remember when you were in elementary school, it took forever for the year to get over, and 1 week seemed like an eternity, and then you get in high school, it kind of rolls a little faster, and then you get out of high school, and it goes a little faster, and you get married, and you have kids, and the next thing you know, you're in a rest home. And your kids are planning your funeral already. And you're like, whoa, I just got out of high school. We're going to die next week. And the Bible says it's appointed unto everyone to die, and after that, the judgment. You know the statistics on death are quite impressive. 10 out of every 10 people living will die. And no matter how rich you are, or poor, or smart, or educated, no matter what color you are, no matter what race or creed or whatever, you will die. And when you die, do you know where you'll spend eternity? When you die, are you ready to face God? Oh, well, God, I was just too busy with my life. I was too busy with my education and career. I was too busy with the things I wanted to do. And like the innkeeper, just ignorant preoccupation, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on knowing God, the blessing of knowing God. Don't let another Christmas go by without coming to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Don't let another Christmas go by without surrendering your life to Him. You know, if Christ is not in your heart, you're not going to find Him under a Christmas tree. If you haven't surrendered to Him tonight, tonight is the night. I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a moment here to pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to forgive your sins and to be your Savior. And you don't need to leave here tonight without knowing that if you died, you'd go to heaven. Maybe you're afraid of what people will think or what people will say. Or maybe you're not ready to give up your party life or maybe the things that you want to do. Maybe you're not ready to let Jesus sit on the throne of your heart. And jealous fear is keeping you away from saying yes to Jesus Christ. Don't let that happen. Or maybe you're here tonight and you go, well, I was raised in the church. I grew up in the church. I was baptized. I was confirmed. I went to catechism. I believe in God. You know that you can do all those things and believe in God and still be lost, die and go to hell? Because you haven't opened your heart and asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and to come into your heart and to be born in you. That's the way that you will not miss Christmas, is by acknowledging that I'm a sinner, Jesus died for my sins, and asking Jesus Christ to forgive you and to come into your heart and to give you eternal life. And He wants to do that tonight. Don't miss Christmas. Don't miss Christmas. Jesus said, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock, and if you hear my voice and you open that door of your heart, I'll come in and I'll have fellowship with you. Do you know that if you died tonight that you'd go to heaven? Do you know that tonight Christ is living in you? If there's any doubt, any question tonight as to whether or not you've been born again or that your sins have been forgiven or that you're a child of God or that if you died, you'd go to heaven, then right now, right here tonight, ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to forgive your sins and to make you His child. He wants to give you that gift of eternal life, but you must open the door.